As Krishna never falls, when we were consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achyuta Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activity does not, upon living in the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, one should understand Achyuta, the Supreme, infallible, and how we are related to him. And one should take the service of the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srila Madhvacharya says, Achyuta Tam Chuti of Arjuna. And the word Achyuta Tam refers to one who falls to this material world, but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Translation of my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the unintelligent women, sudras, and cowherds, and the birds, lower animals, and sinful living entities can revive his original spiritual life and exist forever, simply by accepting the principles of the Bhakti Yoga. So in the previous verse, we mentioned that everyone can take to this process at all times. That was in the previous verse. So here again, we see this is described or elaborated upon by mentioning different people, such as the yakshas and rakshasas, etc. Everyone can, even the sinful jivas, can become like Achyuta, Achyutatam Gata. So, of course, this can have several meanings. Similar qualities to Achyuta. Achyuta, of course, means the Supreme Lord. Achyutata means to get qualities of Achyuta, which is natural because we know that the devotee develops all the qualities through the performance of bhakti. And, of course, we also know that by association, one develops qualities similar to the other person. So if we associate with sinful people, we develop similar sinful habits. If we associate with good people, we develop good qualities. So if we associate with the Supreme Lord, we develop qualities like the Supreme Lord. Natural. So in that sense, we can say achyutatamagata, that one can get qualities like achyuta. The other meaning is based upon the literal meaning of Achyuta. Of course, it means the Supreme Lord, but if we take the word, chut means to fall, and Achyuta means doesn't fall, which means he doesn't move or doesn't deviate from his position at any time. He is fixed. So, fixed in his qualities, fixed in his purity. If he comes into the material world, he is never influenced by the material gunas, or material bodies, etc. So, in this way, he is eternally in his spiritual form with his spiritual qualities. In that sense, he is Achyuta. And he's eternally situated in the spiritual world. And even if he comes in the material world, actually, he's still in the spiritual world. He brings his Dhamma with him. So he is never in any way associated directly with matter. So, a jiva can also become Achyuta in the sense that he can attain the abode of the Supreme Lord eternally. He can get a form like the Lord, a spiritual form, which is eternal, and have a position with the Lord, which is eternal. So in that sense, he is Achyuta, becomes permanently fixed in his spiritual identity with the Supreme Lord. So that's another way of looking at Achyutatam Gata. So this result is actually the highest result for all the endeavors of the jivas. The highest result, of course, is there, and maybe the rarest result also, since most people don't strive for this, they strive simply for temporary material results. However, though it is the rarest thing, it is also open for all people. All these different people can practice it. So, and the previous verses talked about in all places and by all people, this method can be practiced. So therefore, in this verse, we have a list of some of the different persons who can practice it. So, it is not even confined to the human beings. So we know that the devatas can practice, and we see here, he says yakshas and rakshasas can also practice. So the demonic species also can practice. And the heavenly species can practice. The rishis can practice. And of course, we see even persons like Brahma, who's the head of the devatas, he also performs bhakti. And even above that, we find Shiva, who's not even a jiva, he also practices bhakti. And then this verse shows that it's not confined even to the human-like species, not just human beings and devatas and rakshasas, etc. But even the animals can practice. So he says here, the birds and the beasts, the animals also can go to the spiritual abode through the practice of bhakti, which is normally not possible. So we see there are exceptional cases where the birds or animals get liberated or go to the spiritual world. Usually there's some special conditions attached to that, or extraordinary mercy of the Supreme Lord. So you see Gajendra gets liberation, or the lizard, King Nerga, who became a lizard. or we see the two trees, they were the sons of Kuvera, and they became trees, and then Krishna pulled the trees down with the grinding mortar, and then these persons that regained their devata bodies, and later on they became associates of the Lord. So, in various species of life, we find the Lord can deliver animals and even plants sometimes. So, the mercy of the Lord is extraordinary. And the mercy is because the Lord has such a great affection for the devas, and he is particularly attracted to devotion. So he was attracted to Gajendra because Gajendra actually called out to the Supreme Lord and recited some prayers, not an ordinary elephant. So what this means is that all types of jivas can practice bhakti, and equally, they get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord makes no discrimination based upon bodies. The only differentiation the Lord makes is the intensity and the purity of that bhakti, that's all. But as far as the material body, he doesn't make any distinctions there. So, therefore, we have a list like this with different jivas and different bodies can take the process. And, of course, we also can say that not only different species can take to the process of bhakti, but also in all places within the universe, a person can take to bhakti. So, of course, the prayer is there by the devotee that whether in heaven or in hell, I will aspire to serve the Supreme Lord. So, the devotee can practice bhakti in any condition of life. Of course, it is often said that the middle place, that is the earth planet, is actually the best because it's not too pleasurable and hasn't got overwhelming pains attached to it and tamas attached to it. So therefore, it's in the middle, and it's, in this way, it's quite favorable. However, it does not exclude performing bhakti in higher plan of praise system. So we see the devatas and above can practice bhakti. And even in hellish planets, they can also practice bhakti. And in fact, we'll see that Supreme Lord himself, as Vamanadeva, dwells in a Sutala Loka, which is a hellish planet. And he stays there for the whole this Manvantara period. And Prahlad also is there, as a devotee is also there. So, along with Bali. So this place is not a consideration. A person in any place can practice bhakti. And like I said, the different types of people and different bodies can also practice. What this indicates is that bhakti is a very powerful process and is very attractive to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it overrides all these other qualifications of body and place, etc., which are usually necessary to practice something spiritual. So every other spiritual practice requires qualification of place and time. The place must be pure. It cannot be contaminated. And the persons must be pure. So to practice jnana and astanga yoga, one has to have a level of purity first. And this implies, of course, birth. So one cannot practice jnana yoga unless one is actually a Brahmin by birth. So in this way we have qualifications according to bodies for other processes. And of course, in karma yoga, according to body, then you can, and birth, you can do certain activities. And you don't do certain other activities. Kshatriyas cannot do brahminical activities, sudras cannot do vaishya activities, etc. So, it's all based on bodies. But bhakti is very different. It's not distinguish anything in terms of body for performance. And the reason is that the mercy of the Supreme Lord overrides all of these types of qualification. Because the Lord is attracted to bhakti, he doesn't consider the particular person and his body and his place or anything like that. He is simply interested in the jiva's devotion. So this is the nature of bhakti. It attracts the Supreme Lord more than anything else. Ultimately, this is simply an indication of the Lord's great compassion and his bliss. If we trace everything back to what is the cause of everything, why is the Lord attracted to bhakti and the jiva, why does he give mercy to the jiva? Ultimately, the answer is the Lord is blissful by nature. And he shows compassion to the jivas by which they get bliss and the Lord becomes more blissful. So the compassion to the jivas and all of this is an expression of the bliss of the Supreme Lord. This is actually mentioned in the Brahma Sutras, the question arises, why does the Lord create anything? He could just be Nirvishesh Brahma and just be sit there by himself in a state of peace all the time. So why do we have to have spiritual world and jivas in the spiritual world serving the Lord, running around doing activities? Why do we have to have a material world with jivas suffering and running around trying to do activities to get pleasure? Why does the Lord do all this? And the answer is anandatva. The nature of the Lord is bliss. So everything actually is an expression of the bliss, directly or indirectly. Obviously, spirit and spiritual, yes, expression of the Lord's bliss. Everything is there. We have jivas in the spiritual world engaging in the service of the Lord. The Lord becomes blissful, the jiva becomes blissful, the Lord becomes blissful. In this way, the bliss keeps increasing. And in the material world, those jivas that don't accept the Lord, still, the Lord wants to include them in that spiritual bliss, and therefore he devises means in the material world to elevate them. So we have the gunas, we have the law of karma, we have the system of varnashram as indirect means until they raise themselves up, and then we have jnana and sangha yoga, and finally get bhakti yoga. And then he puts jivas in the material world who will deliver the process of bhakti, that is, devotees of the Lord. And so this way, the Lord encourages the jivas to take to the process of bhakti by which they become blissful and the Lord becomes blissful. So, the nature of the Lord is bliss, and all of these activities he does are an expression of his bliss, directly or indirectly. So the process of bhakti, as explained here, where it doesn't require such great qualification and it's open to everyone. This again is because of the Lord's bliss and consequently his compassion to all jivas. He wants to include everybody in this bliss, so he allows all jivas to take part in this without consideration of purity, impurity, or whatever. So, in this way, Prahlad is encouraging the sons of the demons to take to the process. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, of course, that Prahlad was born in a demon family. He became a devotee. His mother was married to a big demon, Hiranyakasipu. She also was devotional. And she also heard from Narada Muni. And she gave birth to a great devotee. And the demons also, though they're born in demon family, this does not exclude them. Everyone can attain the supreme goal of a permanent position in the spiritual world because the Lord is all merciful and the process of bhakti is all merciful. It's not mentioned directly why they have different vahanas or vehicles. I suppose it's simply a sophistication of the vehicles that we have. In ancient times, of course, the only vehicles were animals. Horses and elephants, I suppose. Donkeys or whatever. For human beings, that is. Now we have automated vehicles like cars and trucks and things like this, like airplanes and boats. Mechanical sources. Mm-hmm. So we may consider that very advanced. but it's more advanced to have a living vehicle. So therefore, which has some intelligence. You know? So therefore, I would assume that the bird, the swan vehicle of Brahma or whatever, is a more advanced vehicle than the airplane or whatever, which is a mechanical device. Yeah? And of course, these are special vehicles also than some ordinary swan or ordinary Garuda, whatever. They're also very special animals, you know, with special qualifications, very high qualifications. They're like devatas themselves. So. The living vehicle is superior to the dead vehicle, so that's all we can say. As for devatas, yes, they are jivas. For the Supreme Lord and his associates, certain associates are eternal, like Guruna. He's an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord.
Here, Bhagavan, he has been blessed to get the situation of Narada. But an ordinary jiva has the impulse of making his own choice to take up the bhakti, which is not easily done.
Well, there's two things. There is mercy and there is choice. So even if we have a choice, if we don't get mercy somewhere from some devotee, then we cannot advance. No? Of course, we can say usually the Lord makes arrangement for a person who wants bhakti to get association with a devotee. That's how he gets mercy. But without that association and mercy of a devotee, then it's very difficult to advance in bhakti also. So it's a combination of choice and mercy.
But to even make that choice in the first place, the jiva has so many hindrances in this material.
Well, that's why generally it is because of agyata sukriti that he develops faith. Due to accidental mercy life after life, the jiva develops a favorability towards the Lord. When it becomes stronger, then he consciously seeks out something spiritual and the Lord supplies somebody. So that's the normal process, a very slow process. Extraordinary cases are there where the Lord himself simply directly gives mercy by which a person can advance, but that's rare. Usually it is a slow process. Well, Rakshasas, in a sense, are humanoid species also. The Gandharvas, Devatas, are all in the like 400,000 species of humans, so to speak. Yeah. This, of course, is the Varnashramic, we can say the Varnashramic view, where the women are considered to be a different Varna, so to speak. Yeah? Even though, of course, we can say with the Brahmin woman as a Brahmini or whatever like that, still. Their role in the Varnashram system is a little different from the men, so they don't take up the same roles. In general, we do find, of course, exceptions to the rule, especially in Vedic times, where some of the women attained high positions, like sages, etc., like Gargi. She was an acharya, a Vedic acharya. And of course, even in modern history, we have a few examples of women kshatriyas or something, of a certain Jamsibai or somebody fighting against the Muslims or something. So there are cases like that, but it's not the general rule. So the scriptures also speak in terms of generalities. So they appear that the women are being classed with the other species, which are disqualified under normal circumstances from certain activities. So in a Varnashram world, they're restricted from certain activities. Just as Sudras are restricted from a lot of activities. Sudras cannot study the Vedas. Women cannot study the Vedas, etc. But on the other hand, I said, bhakti goes beyond the whole Varnashram system. Well, sudras are generally considered papajiva, and even, say, vaishyas to some extent, and even brahmanas, for that matter. Everybody is sinful in the material world. So this is taking the extreme case that those of lower birth, either low by caste or animal species, are considered to be sinful. Due to sinful activities, lower activities, they got such bodies. As avatar, he usually appears in Bharat Varsha, but of course we have Vamana appearing in heavenly planet, who was born in Svargaloka, and there are forms of the Lord worshipped in the other dvipas. In each dvipa, there's a different form of the Lord they worship, like they worship Narsimhadev in one of the places, even in one of the Varshas. Narsimhadev is the object of worship, maybe Kim Purusha Varsha or someone like that. So different Varshas in Jambudvipa, different forms of the Lord are worshipped at Narayana Raya, etc. And then whether they actually appear there or not, I don't know what's the deity from, I don't know, but you see their worship is there. And then the different Dvipas also, the living entities generally, predominantly worship one form of the Lord there. It appears so. But of course, he appears in every universe at all times. He's in some universe. Now, and he's constantly appearing in all different universes.
Mm-hmm. attitude of human birth because they had
association. Well, definitely Prahlad's a great devotee and they got association, so even more than human birth, you can say they get the blessings in the future. They could be devotees of the Lord also. Even if not in this lifetime, at least in some future lifetime, they can become devotees and then enter the spiritual world. Well, yeah, the idea that the Lord is all blissful is one thing. I said indirectly it is related to his bliss because the activities of the jiva, sinful activities of the jiva which create suffering for them, obviously that is not blissful for the Supreme Lord. But the result of that is that if he's a human being, he gets karma for that, for his sinful activity. And then he should correct himself and he should advance upward and become higher conscious, develop a higher consciousness. So that becomes blissful for the Supreme Lord when he raises his consciousness and understands and learns from his mistakes. Well, all the plants below the earth and monsters are hellish because there's no sunlight there, etc. Of course, most of them have a lot of enjoyment. So, and all of these different planets, except the bottom one, Patala Loka, where there's a hellish, 17 hellish worlds, that's where the jivas get their hellish punishment. Other than that, they enjoy very nicely, the nagas and this and that, whatever. But it's what we call hellish enjoyment because it is tamasic, it's due to their tamasic desires, they're put in that position, and there's no sunlight, etc. So it's, the enjoyment is of a different sort, and the real pain is involved is in the patala, where they get hellish punishments for their sinful deeds as a human being. So basically the pain is restricted to that one portion of the hellish planets.
Grantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sulasman Maharaj ki, Jumain Rezesi Bhaktivinoda Sampradaya.